This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
And welcome to the Thursday edition of Game Misconduct. I am Don LaGreca. The season is officially underway. No more previews, no more speculation. It's on. We had four games last night. No surprise, Leafs take care of the Senators 5-3. If you had my ice pick parlay yesterday, you cleaned up because the over-under on this one was 6.5. I said take the over, parlay that with a Capitals win in St. Louis, and you would have cashed in nicely as both of those came through. Toronto, before the game, announces John Tavares is the captain. You have to wonder, did that little incident over the summer for Matthews cost him a chance to wear the C? Now, John Tavares is a leader, has no problem with him being the captain, but you just wonder the immaturity of that incident over the summer maybe leaned everything to kind of go to JT, but it's well deserved. I think the Leafs are going to be fine. Senators put up a fight, scored the first goal in this game, tried to hang in, but it was the fourth liners, the grinders, that kind of got it done for the Leafs early in this one, as they were able to get a Gauthier goal and a Moore goal to take a 2-1 lead. Sabrin scores his first to tie it at 2. As I said, the Sens just wouldn't go away. Then it was the Austin Matthews show, his first two goals of the season. He's got 9 goals in his 4 openers. That is just right now too shy of the most by any current player. Alexander Ovechkin's got 11 in, what, like 15 openers. So it's just amazing. Matthews just has that nose for the net early in the season, and Toronto rolls to the 5-3 win. A lot of pomp and circumstance earlier in the day for the St. Louis Blues. They raise the banner. They have a 2-0 lead early, but the Washington Capitals, the odds-on favorite to win the Metropolitan Division, do not go away. So after Petrangelo makes it 2-0, Ovechkin gets his first of the year. He just continues to roll on. Orlov gets the goal in the second period on the power play to tie it up. Stays that way until Vrana's goal, a gorgeous goal, 2:51 into overtime. There were a lot of times that Binnington was standing on his head to just try to keep that game at 2-2. So a well-earned home point for the Blues. Falk looked good in his debut with St. Louis. I think the Blues are going to be heavy contender in that central division, and the Washington Capitals just continue to roll on in a game that I thought the Capitals did a great job in fighting back and coming back. Blues just couldn't muster a lot of shots, just 22 shots on Braden Holtby, and as I mentioned, 34 shots for the Capitals. I thought Bennington really played well to keep the Blues from missing out on even getting a point in that game. Edmonton, this is a wild one. This is a fun one. Last night, as the Oilers win their home opener by the final score of 3-2. Give the Canucks credit. They fight back in this one. Dreisaitl gets his first of the year to make it 1-0. Edler ties it in the second period. But then after Pearson gets a deflection off a Myers shot, looked like Tyler Myers scored his first goal as an Oiler, but upon further review, it was deflected in. Cassian gets a goal to tie it at 2, and then shortly thereafter, Connor McDavid, who I have as going to be the he's going to be the, I believe, the Art Ross Ross Trophy winner. I think he's going to win for points. I think he's also going to win the Hart Trophy for the MVP. I think he's that talented a player. He picks up a goal. There was some real kind of controversy in this one. If you go back to the Edler goal that tied it at 1, Connor McDavid lost his helmet. Now, this is a new rule in the National Hockey League that needs to be discussed, because as you watch games during the course of the year, this may rear its ugly head. If you listen to the letter of the law, you get a reasonable chance to finish the play. Like if you've got the puck, if you're defending a player who has the puck, you lose your helmet. They're not going to blow the whistle right away. The official, and if you watched the game last night, gave Connor McDavid a warning. Connor, go get it. Connor, get the helmet. The puck goes back to the point. Connor gets the helmet, kind of fumbles with it a little bit before he's able to put it on, and what ends up happening is that Besser gets it to Edler, scores the goal, and McDavid was kind of just out of the play. I'm not sure that they would have been able to stop it anyway, but I think McDavid with the helmet on gets to the point, defends it, and it's a non-issue. But I think if Connor doesn't retrieve his helmet and goes to defend the puck at the point, he's going to get a penalty for delay of game. So keep an eye on this. If you lose your helmet, the player has an obligation to put that helmet back on, otherwise he'll get whistled for a delay of game. If he's got the puck or is defending a puck carrier, I think they will give you a reasonable amount of time to kind of finish the play. But once the puck gets out of the vicinity, it's up to you to either leave the ice or put the helmet back on. So It happened right away on the first night of the NHL. I think it's going to happen quite a bit during the course of the year. Because it's a new rule, I can see a lot of people being confused by it. So it did end up costing the Edmonton Oilers the game. Good job by Vancouver. They're going to hang around. I think this Canucks team is a good, fun team. I don't love their goaltending. I love the acquisition of Myers that kind of rounds out their blue line. Brock Besser's one of the best players in the National Hockey League. They're going to hang around. Not sure they're a playoff team, but if you remember last year, they hung around for a while too. So that was a fun competitive game against two teams that are trying to make the playoffs for the first time in a while. The game of the night didn't turn out to be a great game with Vegas winning 4-1, but this is going to turn out to be one of the, I think, marquee rivalries in the Western Conference. These two teams do not like each other. If you go back, of course, last year's Game 7 with the blown lead, if you go back to the Kane suspension with the slashing, these teams don't really care for each other. You saw a lot of penalties called early. I think that's what really sunk the Sharks. They were 0 for 5 on the power play. Golden Knights go 1 for 4. So for there to be 9 power plays in this game, the officials certainly had their radar up. So when these two teams play and they got the back end of the home and home this weekend, I think you're going to see there be a lot of sensitivity making sure things do not get out of hand. But just fair warning, when the Knights and the Sharks play, okay, these games are always going to be late at night, so I know it's tough if you got to get up early in the morning. It's going to be must-see television. Even if the games are out of hand, it's going to be must-see television because that's when you're going to see the chippiness. You're going to see guys get suspended. Good for the Vegas Golden Knights, man. Usually it takes a little while for you to be able to build rivalries. They're only in their third year, but a couple of playoff appearances, a conference final championship 2 years ago, going to Game 7 against the Sharks in the first round last year. They've got an enemy in the Sharks. I think the Golden Knights are picked by a lot of people to come out of the Western Conference. I think they've got a legitimate shot to do that. So it's not too often you have a team that is entering their third season in existence, and already they've got a label on them, they've got an attitude, and they've got a dislikability around the Western Conference that you know that the Golden Knights are just going to eat up. So Stone gets a goal, full season with him now. Riley Smith, who's been good from the get-go there. Glass, and then Riley Smith gets his second goal for the Vegas Golden Knights as they roll to the 4-1 win. So we get a little bit more action tonight as day two. A lot more openers. Panthers and the Lightning. Keep an eye on this series, okay? Listen, the Lightning are in another stratosphere, but the Panthers, I think, are going to be good this year. Joel Quenneville is going to rejuvenate that team. It's been a while since they've had a coach with that kind of name, with those kind of credentials. I mean, the coaches that they've had have been fine, for sure. And, you know, Pete DeBoer did a great job there. You go back to Mike Keenan and all that, but this is a guy that brings hardware, 3 Stanley Cups. Barkov's one of the most underrated players in the league. Trocheck is healthy. They've got good goaltending the first time in forever since Luongo was in his prime. This Panther team is going to be fun to watch, and I think this could be a nice little rivalry again. Panthers and Lightning, of course, Tampa. We mentioned it when we did our Eastern Conference preview. I think they're every bit as good as they were last year. That may not show in like winning a President's Trophy, but this is still the team I think is going to come out of the Eastern Conference. Now, Rangers and the Jets, I'll be calling this game over at MSG tonight. You can hear that on 98.7 ESPN. Our coverage will begin at 6:30. I'll be doing the first 6 Rangers games of the year. I'm excited about that. Rangers come in, new look team. Trouba plays his old team. Pionk's going to play his old team on the Winnipeg side. But the Rangers have Panarin. They go out and get Adam Fox, which a lot of people are excited about. Capo Caco now is a member of the team, second overall pick. A lot of Ranger fans feel like that he would have been the first overall pick as far as they're concerned. So you got a nice rivalry between him and Jack Hughes now with the Devils. Rangers have lost their last 2 home openers to Colorado and Nashville, now taking on another Western Conference Central Division team. So, again, Hank lost his last 6 starts to end last year. He's been stuck on 449 wins now since going back to early last March. So he's trying to get to 450. Jets come in without their top 4 defensemen from last year. Trouba's now a Ranger. Bufflin's contemplating retirement. Shabbat's gone. Meyer's gone. So, you know what? So you lose your top 4 defensemen. That's going to be a bit of an issue. Connor Hellebuyck had a great year 2 years ago. I thought he took a little bit of a step back. Line A missed camp because of a holdout. if you're going to get the Winnipeg Jets, probably get them early. See if the Rangers can take advantage of that as Winnipeg kind of goes through the early portion with a bunch of new players and guys to miss camp. So I think they'll get better as the season goes on. So probably good out of the Eastern Conference teams to get a look at the Jets early. I think they'll be a much better team in a couple of months. Sabres and the Penguins. Many people think the Pittsburgh Penguins are going to take a step back. We'll see. No Crosby. Malkin needs to be a little bit better, but they still have a lot of players. They still have Letang on the team. Olimata's now gone. Phil Kessel's now gone. Galchenyuk comes over from Arizona, so a little bit of a new look for the Penguins, but still exceptionally well-coached, great goaltending. The Buffalo Sabres still in their transition, but players to watch. They got Eichel, you got Skinner, got Dahlin on the blue line, so there's some young players that you want to take a look and see if they can mature. Montreal and Carolina is very interesting to me as well. All right, Montreal, not a lot of changes during the offseason, but they got a world-class goaltender. They feel pretty good about their team. Hurricanes coming off a conference final appearance last year. If you know the Hurricanes history, they're one and done a lot. Win the cup in 06, fall off. Go to the conference final in 09, go a decade without going to the playoffs. I don't think that's going to happen again, but Falk is now gone. Mrazek now is going to be in goal, which you can look at as an improvement, but the McElhaney thing was really a shot in the arm for that team last year, and they really rode that throughout the playoffs. So let's keep an eye on those two teams. Wild and Predators. Wilder, I think, are a full-blown rebuild. The players that they have are getting older. Against the Nashville team, they traded away P.K. Subban, but still great on the blue line, phenomenal goaltending, and some really eye-catching forwards that they have. So I think Nashville is still going to be very fine. Bruins and the Stars in Dallas. I've got Dallas coming out of the Western Conference. I love this team. I love what they did during the course of the offseason. They're stacked offensively. They got a world-class goaltender in Bishop. I love the Stars, and I love the Bruins. They're getting a little bit older for sure. A lot of mileage on some of their players, but still a tremendous amount of talent there in Boston. That's going to be an 8:30 start in Dallas. 9 o'clock, great start for the Avalanche and the Flames, two of the best teams in the Western Conference, maybe the best team in the Pacific, at least last year in the Flames. Change in goal as Smith is gone, but looks like Rittich is going to be the guy going there full time with Cam Talbot as the backup, and everybody's on board with the Avalanche after what they did last year. Coyotes and the Ducks. Ducks have some talent, but certainly getting older. Corey Perry's now gone. He's in Dallas. And then you've got the Coyotes who make the big trade with Kessel. Good young players there as well. Barely missed the playoffs last season, so that should be a fun start for the Coyotes and the Ducks from Anaheim. So a lot of really good games tonight. Let's go to you on Twitter. You can follow me at Don LaGreca, hashtag Game Misconduct. We go to Sam. He says, having Haley, D'Angelo, and Lemieux on the roster, do you think that the Rangers will be tough enough to compete against the more scrappier teams in the league? I would like to see Shea and Trouba become more of a physical presence. Well, it's not as important, Sam, as it's been in the past. But Lemieux adds a dynamic where he doesn't take anything from anyone, and he has some talent. So not sure what Haley's minutes are going to be, and D'Angelo for sure, but I think Lemieux is the guy that you can get excited about because he can give you physicality. He can be that, like, Sean Avery nasty guy, but a ton of skill, a ton more skill than usually the guys that play that role. So I agree that Lemieux could be that guy. Forever TH says, great night of hockey. Glad the Leafs won. Why are so many people ripping the Leafs offseason for spending big on their homegrown talent? They got a good AHL affiliate, and they've got cap room coming on in the offseason, in the off in few seasons, to sign cheap vets like most teams like this. Well, we talked about yesterday with EJ, the Tavares contract really put them in a bind. And then you give the contract that you give to Nylander. You had to give it to Marner. You had to give it to Matthews. That's what happens when you get a lot of talent. And I don't think anybody can kill them. You can kill them for the money they gave Marner and to Nylander. People would kill them even more if those guys walked or if those guys get traded. And usually in those situations, when you trade restricted free agents like that, you never get value in return. So to me, the Leafs certainly did the right thing. Troy says it was an awesome night at T-Mobile. Got to witness Cody Glass score his first NHL goal, and it was a beautiful play. During the pregame, gold carpet, he was asked by a fan about how he felt going into tonight, and he said one word, nervous. No, he's a great kid and a great addition to a team that is just a phenomenal team. So that was a cool moment to get his first National Hockey League goal. Let's see. Ara Kaufman says, Tampa won the President's Trophy last year and Boston played so many extra games, so both teams' focus has to be to get to the playoffs healthy, rested. I feel like winning the division is more important to the Leafs and to avoid Boston or Tampa in the first round. Can they win it? Yes, they can. Great point, because I don't think Tampa and Boston are going to go in nervous they're going to miss the playoffs. And I don't think Tampa is going to be that focused on killing themselves to win the President's Trophy or killing themselves to win X amount of games. I think you're right. Boston, they've got to be calm when you've got older players. Bergeron's getting older. Chara certainly is older. So Marchand's getting older too. So they're going to have to make sure that they, I'm not saying they're going to throw games, but they're going to probably reduce minutes just a little bit. They're probably not going to go all gung-ho to finish as a top seed, and home ice advantage I'm not sure really matters to either of those teams. They want to get in that top three, not dance with the wild card. All things, you're right, that Toronto could take advantage of. So Toronto can really see value in winning that division and avoid having to face Boston again in the postseason. It's been ridiculous that that matchup's happened 3-4 times over the last half decade. Mario says, hey, Don, game misconduct is back. Rangers hockey is back. Good start to October. How do you think the Rangers will perform tonight and the rest of the season? I think they're going to be a borderline playoff team. I think they're going to be high energy. And as I mentioned before, catching the Jets early, I think, is going to be a good thing because of all the flux they have with all the different players and the holdouts. Brett says, glad to have you back, Don. Think if Rangers are close to a playoff spot come trade deadline, they don't trade Kreider. Be good for youth to experience playoffs, even if it's only 4 or 5 games. So why are the Rangers playing 3 games in 11 days? It's not a bye week. I asked people around the Rangers. No one seems to know why they have a full week off. If you're not familiar with the Rangers' schedule, they play tonight, they play Saturday in Ottawa, and they don't play till the following Saturday, and then don't play again until the following Thursday, where they'll play back-to-back in Jersey Thursday in D.C. against the Capitals on Friday. No idea why that's happening. And I just don't know what's going to happen with Kreider. I talked to JD about that on the Michael Kay show. He was a little non-committal to Kreider. So I think how he plays this year will depend on what's going to happen moving forward with him. I do think the Rangers, along thinking with you, Brett, that they see value in making the playoffs, get some of those kids some experience in the postseason. It's been a while now since the 2017 season that the Rangers have been in the playoffs. So I do think that they may be adding pieces at the deadline for sure, rather than maybe trying to sell off. I think they do want to see if they can get this team in the postseason. Alex says Flames' chances at winning the cup or making it far, I guess it kind of hinges on goaltending with Rittich. You're right, but it wasn't goaltending that knocked him out against the Avalanche. The offense just went crazy. I mean, Gaudreau's got to do a better job. He was really non-existent in those playoffs. And the fear around some of the skill players with the Flames, especially Johnny Gaudreau, who I'm a big fan of, is once you get to that physicality of the postseason, that chippiness of the postseason, then maybe those guys are really taken out of their game. So we'll see if that ends up being the case with the Flames. But I do like Calgary a lot. Shiny Wizards Kevin says, lots of people have the Devils improving, but not quite making the playoffs. What do you think are the most realistic best and worst case scenarios for the Devils in 2019-2020? Well, the worst case scenario is that Schneider again struggles, they don't get the goaltending, and they end up not improving. It's hard to think of them not improving when you've got a healthy haul. You add 2 really legitimate offensive players, and Gusev and Hughes, and then you throw Wayne Simmonds, who's a good two-way player, P.K. Subban. I mean, how do you add those players and not improve? Well, I'll tell you how, if the goaltending continues to be bad. I mean, whether you lose 2-1 or 5-4, they're still losses. They're still games in which you didn't get points in the standings. So that's how they can have problems. To add to that, And Your Name says, will Taylor Hall be a Devil this time next year? I think they're committed to make it work. And I think the new ownership with the Devils, they don't want to see somebody walk for nothing. And they're going to be in a really tough spot for them to trade them, because I think the Devils will be in playoff contention. So it's a great question. If I had to guess, I would probably put the chances at maybe 60% that he's still a Devil. So I still have 35 to 40% that he may end up missing. Got a little bit of a run here with the Devils. Marcelo says, do you think the Devils will ultimately be able to re-sign Hall, and if they have a good season, or is he as good as gone? No, well, he's not as good as gone, but still a very, very good question. on what's going to happen with Taylor Hall. But I think same with the Rangers is I think they see value in making the playoffs. I really believe in my heart of hearts that they're going to want to keep these players. Unless you're miserably out of it at the deadline, then all bets will be off. Chris Morris says, hi, Don. I am from Perth, Western Australia. Big Coyotes fan, but bigger Don fan. Love your work with Game Misconduct and the Michael Kay Show with Michael Kay and Peter Rosenberg. Have a great season. Look forward to hearing your calls on Rangers games. Well, thank you, Chris. Got to get to Australia. We got a lot of fans in New Zealand, Australia. I think it's great. This global village. I went to college from 86 to 92 because I cut classes because I was at the radio station too long, and obviously it worked out, hanging out at the radio station. Not great for my grade point average, but I did get to experience college a little bit longer than most people. And they taught us about the global village, and this is going back 30-something years ago. Boy, is it really shrunk now where people can listen to podcasts and radio stations from across the world. So it makes me feel good that somebody that far away, I'm here in New York City, that somebody all the way in Australia could enjoy the show, and I really do appreciate that. Courtney says, you have no idea how happy this makes me when I see this is my Twitter feed, the Game Misconduct. Yes, it's nice to be back. It's fun to have the podcast back, get into a regular rotation. All right, tomorrow we got a lot of games to recap for sure. We will do that. Tomorrow's going to be a little crazy for me because I'm going to be over at the stadium for the Yankees playoff start. Then I got to catch a flight to Ottawa to do the Rangers-Senators game on Saturday. But I will definitely squeeze in a podcast to recap all the great games tonight and kind of preview the weekend for you. So we'll be back then. Want to get in touch with me? The best way to do it is always on Twitter, at Don LaGreca. Got to remember the hashtag GameMisconduct so I can sift through all of the nonsense that I get in Twitter and find that good stuff with the hockey at hashtag Game Misconduct. So that's where we stand there. I'm going to kind of relish, if you don't mind, in bask in the glory of what was a great parlay yesterday. So I'll lay out with the ice picks, at least right now. If I do get a chance to have an ice pick before the end of the show today, which is 7 o'clock Eastern time, I will tweet it out to you. But right now, not feeling anything, and I made a promise to myself, when I'm not feeling something, I'm going to kind of lay out. And I had such a good night last night, it might be bad to just kind of bask in the glory of actually being right for once. Back with you again tomorrow. This is the Thursday edition of Game Misconduct.
Thanks for listening to the Game Misconduct podcast. Looking for more Don LaGreca? Hear him on the Michael Kay Show weekdays from 3 to 7 p.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York and worldwide on the ESPN app. And don't forget to subscribe to the Game Misconduct podcast wherever you get your podcasts.